Let me get you to turn to the book of Revelation, and we'll kind of pick up where we left off last week. I don't know if we'll get to a bowl now this morning or not. Going to finish where we picked up. But don't forget in the book of Revelation that there are some primary purposes in the book. And one of those, of course, is to help us endure persecution and also to show us God is in complete control of all future events. There's nothing that escapes His notice. We're in the middle of the book, and so this is in chapter 16 today. Series of judgments, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. We've looked at most of those to this point. They progress in severity as we get closer to the end. And where we left off, we're going to pick up today in chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 1 and go through verse 7. That's going to be a little unit for us to finish up today. I really wanted to get into verse 8 and 9 with the fourth angel, but I don't know if we'll get there at this point. So in verse 1, kind of give us a running start. John says he heard a great voice out of the temple. And that voice said to the seven angels, I want you to go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So seven angels, seven vials. They got a very specific set of orders. Now, the very first angel goes and pours out his vial upon the earth. And John says, what I notice is there fell there a noisome or loathsome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So the very first bowl that we looked at a couple weeks ago, and again I'm going to try to kind of keep the image before us. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but in some fashion John saw angels pouring bowls, and the very first bowl is what we've been calling malignant sores. Okay, some kind of ulcerated sores in the bodies of these who have turned away from God. In verse 3, the second angel pours out his bowl upon the sea. It becomes as the blood of a dead man, and every living thing or soul died that was in the sea. Was it real blood or something that resembled blood? All John says is it looked like it was blood in the sea, and we talked about the red tide a couple weeks ago with that as well. Then the third angel pours out his vial or bowl upon the rivers and fountains of water. So now upon fresh water, and they become blood. And last week we talked about this, that you've got to have water to survive. So if all of the sources of fresh water turn to blood and there's no water to drink, within about 3 days, every human being on the face of the earth dies. And that's how severe this is. But it's also a reason we think that the bowls are poured out in rapid succession. Because if not, everybody would be dead before we got to the next judgment. So that is the third bowl. Now, right at that point, there is an interruption. And before the fourth angel pours out his bowl, John says, I heard the angel of the waters. And that angel said, now this is going to defend the righteousness of God and the justness of God in the midst of this judgment. Thou art righteous, O Lord, you which art and wast and shalt be, because you have judged exactly as you have judged. I've kind of put that in there. We're trying to defend the judgment and righteousness of God. And then he adds in verse 6, so the angel adds in verse 6, that those whom you have judged, they have shed or poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and God, you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They deserve that. It's exactly what they ought to receive. And then we pick up in verse 7 today, and he says, I heard another voice, another speaking, out of or from the altar. And in the same context, that voice he hears says, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. So against a backdrop of judgment, is God still good? Right? Can we say that God is good? Is He right to pour out this judgment? And so first of all, the angel of the water says, yes, Lord, you are righteous. This is what they've done to your people. Now you've given them exactly what they deserve. And then from the altar, John says there was another voice that spoke. Now, a lot of questions come up in verse 7 because we know nowhere in the text does it identify exactly which voice or who is speaking. So let me get you to do something for just a minute. We are in chapter 16 right now. If you think in your mind and kind of go back, and this is going to be earlier, about 10 chapters. In chapter 6, there were seven seals that were broken. When the fifth seal was broken, John says he saw under the altar the souls of those who had lost their lives because of their faith in Christ. So basically, there are martyrs under the altar that John sees. And what he hears them saying is, Lord, how long before you avenge our blood? Okay? How long before you prove you are righteous, that you are just, and you avenge our blood? Lord, how long? Now, here's a good question I've got. When we get to chapter 16, is it the same voice of these martyrs under the altar? And now they are saying, Lord, you have answered our prayers. And they're basically saying amen to what the angel of the waters has said about the righteousness of God. I heard another voice. We don't know exactly who it was, from the altar. And those, if they are the martyrs, are adding their amen to what's been said earlier in verses 5 and 6. The voice says, in the middle of verse 7, even so, okay, that's kind of like a yes, kind of like an amen. And then I want you to notice that what this voice says about God, three terms here that describe who this God is. He is Lord, He is God, and He is Almighty. Okay, He is Lord, sovereign over all. He is God, the Creator God, right? Divine being. And then He is the all-powerful one as the Almighty. And with that theology, as those voices cry out, if it's the martyrs, they identify who God is, and they remind us again at the end of verse 7, indeed, Lord, what you are doing, it is true and it is righteous. Now I need to remind you really quick from verse 7, God will always judge consistently with His nature. It is never the case that God is being mean. It is never the case that God is being unloving. It is never the case that God is being impatient. God is patient. He is kind. He is gracious. But at some point, a line is crossed. And we are at that line at the end of time, as we know it, on this earth. And so when the angel, when this voice speaks, says, Lord, you are true and you are righteous in everything you judge. Now look at the context. From verse 5 all the way to verse 7, there is a little bit of an interruption. We're trying to figure out, is it right of God to judge like this? Is it right of God to cause these ulcerated sores on the bodies of wicked people? Is it right of God to change the waters to blood and all the animals in the sea die? Is it right of God to turn all the drinking water, fresh sources of fresh water, to blood, and people begin to die of dehydration? Is it right of God to do that? And these speak out and say, yes, Lord, you are righteous and you are just. Amen. Give them blood to drink. They deserve it. That's harsh. That's harsh. But when you get to this point in history, the line has been crossed. There's really no more opportunity. And God is going to seal the fate of every person based on whether they've decided to choose Him and follow after Him or not. And that's where we are in this passage. So let me give you a principle to take from verse 7. And then we'll start a little tiny bit into the fourth angel pouring out his bowl upon the sun. Here's what I want to give. Oh, I'm not going to give it to you. It's not up there. I can't do it. Listen to this. Rest assured, you will receive from the hand of God exactly what you deserve, no more and no less. Right? Because see, we hear this and we read this, we think, is this even right? Is God being just in doing so? And what you find in the Bible is every person, okay, and primarily wicked people, lost people, they get exactly what they deserve if they turn their backs on God. It's nothing more than they deserve, and it's nothing less than they deserve. And you're going to find the fairness and righteousness of God is ringing out in the book of Revelation. And with that I say, one day, God is going to straighten out every wrong. I promise you that is going to happen. Now, with that, finishing that little interruption, let's start to look at the fourth angel. And the fourth vial, the fourth bowl poured out upon the sun. Look in verse 8. The fourth angel pours out his bowl. Okay, John says, I looked up, I saw those three, and all of a sudden there's the fourth one. Right after the third, boom, starts pouring out the contents. And he says, this time I noticed it wasn't upon the sea, it wasn't upon sources of fresh water. He says, this time the fourth angel pours out his vial, and it's poured out upon the sun. Now, wouldn't you like the task of trying to draw that for your preschool, Sunday school class? John, what did you see? I'll tell you what I saw. Another angel rises up. And you know that big, bright, burning ball up there in the sky? He pours out his bowl and ends up being poured out on the sun. But what happened after that? He pours his bowl upon the sun, and power was given to him, to that angel, or it may be referring to the sun itself, possibly to it, to the sun, but nonetheless, and power there was given unto that angel or that sun to scorch men with fire. And so what happened? Well, John says, I noticed in the vision that indeed men, that people were scorched with great heat. And because of that, then, they blaspheme the name of God, which has power over these plagues. But watch this. But they did not repent to give Him glory. That still drives me crazy in the book of Revelation. With all the judgment, they still will not repent. And we're going to talk about that. It'll be next week now. We're going to talk about why is it that people will not repent upon the evidence of such judgment. Go back to the bowl in verse 8. Let's start looking just a little bit at this. And I can't do what I want to do because I've got to have the screens for it. So I'll just introduce it. And then we'll kind of start with that. Fourth angel pours out his vial upon the sun. Now let me give you a contrast. If you read ahead, when the fifth angel pours out his vial, it leads to darkness. There's a big contrast here. When the fourth angel pours out his vial, it leads to an intensity of the brightness of light and energy from the sun. What a contrast. If you were alive in that day, I mean, can you even imagine being alive in that day? And at one moment, of course, you don't know this because you can't see from heaven. You don't know if there's angels like pouring out bowls of wrath. But you're on this earth during that time. You're worshiping the Antichrist. You're bowing down to His image. You've got His mark on your wrist, your forehead. You're buying what you need. But all of a sudden, things got a little bit worse. And the Antichrist is not able to provide like He was and give you that peace He promised. And now there's ulcerated sores breaking all over your body. And the problem is, there's no doctors available because they're suffering from it also. There's no hospitals available because they're jam-packed with people trying to get some kind of ointment or cream to help with the sores. You can't drink water. You're about to die of thirst. Have no idea angels are pouring out the wrath. And all of a sudden you notice, you know, I don't know what has happened, but all of a sudden the sun has gotten a whole lot stronger. The heat is so bad, I'm looking at my body. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think my flesh is starting to burn. So like this. What's going on? And I don't know how long it was between angel number 4 and angel number 5, but then somewhere along the way, angel number 5 pours out his bowl. And it's almost like, again, if we're going to read this literally, it's almost like now the sun has kind of turned off, and now darkness descends upon the entire kingdom of the Antichrist. It's a strange contrast there. He pours out his vial upon the sun. Now, I want you to think too, just to introduce this, and we'll look at it next week and hit it a lot harder. The fourth angel pours out the bowl. Do you remember when the fourth trumpet was blown? When the fourth trumpet was blown, it too affected the sun. But when the fourth trumpet was blown, what it did was dim the sun by about a third. Okay, remember that as the judgments fall upon the wicked of the earth, there is an increasing intensity, increasing severity. So we go from one-fourth the earth being killed with the seals that are broken. One-third is being killed now with trumpets that are blown. So 50% of the earth is now dead. And then we get to the bowls, and there's no one-fourth or one-third. It's entire, right? Global. So we read here with the sun, it's not just one-third now of less light, but it goes the other way. There is an intensity, and it's now burning people. It's scorching people according to the word that is used. And I'm going to say this literally, and I'm going to stop with this because this is where I need the screens for next week. But I'm just going to say this just as literally as I can, and we're going to talk about this more next week. Literally, with trumpet or with bowl number 4, literally, an extreme global warming is going to occur. And I'm going to try to balance some things for you. I was going to do it today. I just don't have time. I want to show you something. I'm going to try to balance things for you next week. But I'm going to tell you this. You need to be very, very careful the sources you use for your information on some things. There is distortion in some areas. And I don't know how right now. I mean, this is my perspective. Right now, I told y'all this before, the most corrupt organization in America is the news media. It's just the way it is. So be very careful with that. But we're in a place now, and I kid you not, look it up. Today's paper, front page in the right-hand corner for the health section, there's this entire article about anxiety that is like almost immobilizing, especially young people, because of fears and things regarding what's called global warming. So I want to unpack some of that. I want to show you some statistics. And I don't think anybody's denying that climate change, as we understand that. But regardless of what's happening now and the fears people have now, here's what I'm trying to say. When you get to bold number 4, we're talking about an extreme case. Whether God says, you know what? I created Earth and the atmosphere. I'm going to remove some layers so the sun's intensity is stronger. Or God decides, I created Earth. I've got everything distanced just right now so you can survive. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When bowl number 4 comes out, I'm going to take my little divine finger and push Earth or push sun just a little bit closer, and y'all are going to feel some heat. I don't know how it's going to do it. But what I'm saying is this. What John says he saw, now not just ulcerated sores, we're dying of dehydration. The animals are all dead in the seas. But now, upon all that, there is a fierce heat that is literally scorching, almost roasting human bodies. So I'm going to show you next week a couple of things. I want to show you, first of all, I want to keep in context the whole thing with global warming. Okay? We're not denying that, but we'll keep it in context. It ain't going to scare us to death. And number 2, I want us to really think about, and this is, again, this is not going to be gross, don't worry about that. I want you to really think about, though, seriously, and think about it this week. What is it like? I mean, the human body, I mean, to kind of like, to be roasted. To be scorched. And we're going to look medically, right now, how do doctors identify different degrees of burns? I mean, I want to make it real, right? This is what John says he saw. So I'm going to try to make that real and understand and appreciate what this judgment is talking about. So I'm going to do that next week with verse 8. We're going to do verse 8 and 9 next week. Let's look at this bowl and the heat and the scorching, and yet they still blaspheme God. That just blows me away. I mean, listen, if you think about it this way, according to these verses, this will literally be the closest hell has ever been to being on earth. Right? And the fires of hell. And people scorch with the heat and energy from the sun, and yet they still blaspheme and will not repent. So we had a lot to look at next week in those verses. So in that context, I'm going to remind you again, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. It's right in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 10. And we read about this judgment, and we read about what's going to come to pass. And we see everything to make these things happen is really in creation now. All God's got to do, make a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there, and boom, you've got the apocalypse. That's where we are. So let me close today as we've introduced that. And as we bow together and close in prayer, give you the opportunity here at the end to respond in your seat or there or here at the altar as you feel led. Again, I don't know what needs are in your life. Cassandra has reminded us earlier with the songs and the themes that life is difficult. It can still be well with our soul as we started earlier. We raise a hallelujah against the backdrop of the enemy. There's a lot of things going on in life. I don't understand them. I don't understand this morning why everything went crazy with cables and TVs. I don't understand that stuff. But that really doesn't matter compared to issues of life and the difficulties and stresses and trials. And so you may just have something on your mind today. You just need to, Lord, would you just please, God, would you just please intervene? Would you act? God, prove yourself to be Almighty, Lord God Almighty. And maybe you're with us today or listening later and you're not saved and it scares you thinking about the judgments, and it ought to, and you need to be saved. And so today would be the opportunity for you to repent of sin and put your faith in Christ and say, I want to be born again, become a Christian. I'm accepting what Jesus did for me on the cross and through His resurrection and giving my life to Him. Lord, please take my life, save my soul, lead me. Maybe it's somebody else in your mind this morning to pray for. going through a hard time or not sure about their salvation. So I'm going to zip my lips, give us an opportunity to respond. I'll close this time in prayer in just a moment, and we'll be dismissed today. Love the reminder of that song, just as I am. You don't have to have it all together. Jesus specializes as a physician. He takes care of sick people. Lord, thank you for that reminder in the song. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning, specific circumstances or people that have been lifted up to you. Answer these prayers in accordance with your plan and your purposes that would magnify glory toward your name, that would draw people closer to yourself, and would also be the greatest blessings in the world upon our lives on this earth as we seek to honor you and please you with our living and hopefully our obedience to you. As we go today, I pray that you would protect and watch over each one in this upcoming week, that you would help us, God, embolden us. I think Michael mentioned it earlier. Embolden us to realize people around us, every single person we meet this week, is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. It's not based on whether they go to church, whether they've been baptized, or whether they're good people. It's based on what they've done with your Son. God, may that burden us this week to look for those opportunities. Give us words to speak. Give us courage to speak. And may we honor you with our witness. We lift up our prayer now in Jesus' name. Amen.